to have everybody back. That was wonderful afternoon. Got a little napping. Some good food. But I need to know something. Somebody's going to ask me this after services. Hopefully there'll be an honest one of you somewhere. But everybody's integrity on check right now. Where are all the bad people in this congregation? When I go to do meetings, usually you've got a couple of standoffish people and unfriendly people and, you know, people that kind of give you the stink eye when you talk to them. And I don't know if you guys locked all them up before the meeting started somewhere. But we haven't met any yet. So that's a compliment to you all. Very, very friendly congregation. And people recognize that, and people see that. Everybody seems to get along, at least you fake it. And that's what congregations, people want to be a part of. So that's just something I wanted to not give you a big head about. And then there's something else that you guys don't notice. I'm telling you, you don't notice it, but I do. And I listen to this every time I come to a congregation. I listen to it during the prayer, while I'm focused on the Lord's Supper. I got my ears tuned in. You have something in this congregation that congregations throughout the U.S. want. And that's baby noises. You hear mothers correcting babies, you hear babies fussing, you hear babies cooing. You have children, little children voices popping out when they should be hushing. And sometimes I know the parents freak out, because I know when our kids were little either. But that is one of the most wonderful noises for a preacher, at least me, to hear, because that tells me this church has a future. There are so many congregations, I get a lot of calls, because we have the preacher training program up there, I get a lot of calls across this great country from good brethren who are looking for preachers. And they'll tell me the same story. Well, there's just a few of us. A lot of us are getting older now. And we need some young blood. And they would die to hear the noises that sometimes you guys get frustrated with. So always remember that. And I remember that from when I was Kendrick's age. I was sitting on the front pew. Actually, we're sitting back. We aren't allowed to sit with anybody. Our family sat on that back pew right there. There's a bunch of us. We filled up the back pew. My brother, oldest brother, had cerebral palsy, so he's in his wheelchair. And we filled up the back pew. But this little, I remember it was like over this area. There was a mother there with a little baby. The little baby was fussing. And some of the older ladies over here were giving that mother a stink eye, like, do some of that kid. And I remember this old preacher. I can't even remember his name now. He's dead and gone. He was about 100 dead, so I know he's gone now. But he just stopped preaching in the middle of the sermon, and he said, I know that a lot of you guys are giving this young mother over here some dirty looks. He said, you know, when you quit hearing babies fussing in the congregation died. And that rattled through the congregation, but it set, I was, again, that impacted me, and I've enjoyed, I can talk over a baby, I can talk over it. You know, sometimes you need to take a baby to the choir room because they're getting too fussy, but that's just something, you guys, a blessing you guys have here, along with the friendly congregation, that's going to be a win-win for the future, so I want to leave you with that. Now that I've smoothed you, let's get to the lesson. You know, a lot of times, red, what does that mean? There we go. You know, a lot of times, we as people, I know Gene and I are, we're big procrastinators. I don't know how you guys are. Some people are. Some people are planners. I like to plan, but also like, I don't know, I was the same thing in school. I wait for the last minute to study for a test. I always pass. I was smart enough to be able to do things in crunch time. You know, in college, I'd wait until the last 2 days before term paper was due, and then I'd crank it out. And the dean would correct it, and then I'd get an A, because I wrote it in hillbilly English, and then she went through it and put it in proper English grammar, and she got me through college while I was in the Army. But the point that I'm trying to make is, you know, there's always a lot of things that we're going to get around to. You know, we're going to talk about some of those things this morning, and maybe some of them apply to you, some of them they don't. But this is an area where we need to, as Christians, we can procrastinate about things. We can procrastinate about where we're going to live or what we're going to do in life. But when it comes to God and His work and His will and His duties, that should be at the forefront of our responsibilities, and it should be at the forefront of our decision-making process. You know, wherever we're doing, if we're planning on moving,
the very first question I always tell people, they always ask me, "Really, I have this opportunity to go get this job, and I can make X amount of dollars, and you know, it'll be great for my family. What do you think?"
The very first question I ask them is there a faithful church there? If there's not a faithful church there, and you're not willing to start one, then this shouldn't even be a discussion. I know so many Christians that move away for a job, and then they find themselves either fellowshipping an institutional church, because that's the only church of Christ around here, because they don't even have the backbone to start a work, or they didn't even think about looking for a church. So a lot of things we need to do and prioritize when we're getting the same thing going away to college for kids. We've got a lot of young folks here that will be going away. Hopefully some of them to our 2-year preacher training program at Silver, Missouri. Others to college. But the very first thing you should ask is there a church there? And is it a faithful church there? And that's just one example of what we're going to talk about this morning or this evening. So, probably one of the biggest procrastination is when I get around to it, I want to become a Christian. I got a lot of friends that are like this. A lot of non-Christian friends. And I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek. Because I'm friendly with them, but we're not really friends because we don't share a common bond with God. But I'll ask them, "Hey, you want to come to services? You want to study? I'll get back with you later." And so when it comes to your salvation, the Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 13, we don't know what tomorrow may bring. Turn your Bibles over and read that with me. James chapter 4, verse 13. It says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go and do such and such, to such a town and spend a year there and trade and profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For it is a mist, a vapor, that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." We talked about that this morning. I have a whiteboard, you right? No. Normally, I got a rope and some other things to show you, turning. Maybe we'll do that later in the week. But the point is this. Is that our life is so short and goes by so quick. You can talk to some of the, kind of reserve the word older, but the more mature brethren among us here that are up there in their years, and you can ask them,
"How fast is your life going?"
And they'll tell you, "It seems like yesterday." I know because I talked to them. "Seems like yesterday I was a kid. Seems like yesterday I was just getting married. Seems like yesterday I was just..." And that's how fast it goes. Now, when you're 17, like these young ladies over here, 4 years down the road seems like an eternity. But in 40 years, when they're 57, they'll say, I remember listening to this old fat preacher down there. West Side Church of Christ, back when I was a kid,
and he was this, and that, and then that. Now it just seemed like yesterday.
That's how fast time goes. It seemed like the older you get, the faster time goes. I don't know what it is. My grandpa used to say that, and now as I'm getting older, I believe it. But we need to understand that today, not tomorrow, not next week, today is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 says that. Today is the day that we need to be saved. Not tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring.
You know, another thing that we say when it comes to when I get around to it, I'm going to start attending church better. And then when you question them about that, they misquote one of the greatest Bible verses. I saw it on your introduction slide. Hebrews 10, verse 25. Turn over there. Now, if you have an old King James Bible, it says this: not neglecting the assembly of yourselves together as man itself. I use the ESV. It says not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some.
Now, what I want you to understand is that if you got that old KJV, that word is assembly, not assembly. I've heard preachers even teach this wrong. Look at the Bible. It says assembly.
Do not forsake the assembly of yourselves together as a matter of sight. Not assembly. I've heard brothers say, well, as long as I go to worship, all the rest of them are kind of optional. No, they're not. I have your member here. Your assemblies are out there on that side. I think it says 9:30 for Bible class, 10:30 for worship, and then 5 p.m. And I think it says something about 6:30 on Wednesday, correct? Did I read that right? That's the assemblies of the saints here in West End Church Grant.
Now, as a member here, you agree to that. Those are the assembly times of the saints here. It doesn't say assembly,
singular, it's assembly. How many times you've agreed to assemble as a brotherhood, as a church? And St. Robert, we don't have a Sunday night.
We just never had one. We're not opposed to them. When we started to work there, we only had 11 people, and some of the brethren wanted to still attend St. James, which is just up the road at night, so they could keep a relationship on it. But we just never worked it out, and we just never had one.
We've almost started a couple times. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. The fact is, we have three assembly times. Sunday morning, 9 o'clock for Bible class, 10 o'clock for worship, and then 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. That's our assemblies of the saints there in St. Robert. So if I'm a member of St. Robert, I need to be there. And I need to adjust my life around those assembly times. When I get around to it, I'm going to do that. I've seen people that have been going to get around to that for years and years and years. Now, we're not talking about when you're sick or when you got some reason for not being there. But I've seen people blow up
bomb class for sports events, blow up Bible class because all we're, a bunch of us are going to go camping.
This is something that used to blow my mind when I was a kid, because the church I grew up in California used to do that.
About five families would get together and they'd go to the mountains. We were right at the foothill of the Sierra Nevada Mountain. Beautiful country up there. And they would go up there for a weekend. Now there was a faithful church up in Cortsville, California, because we used to attend there during deer season.
We'd go up and camp out too, but we'd go to church on Sundays. And they would take the Lord's Supper with them, or what they call the Lord's Supper. They'd take some bread and some fruit of the vine with them, and then they'd play church up there. That's not a church. That's five families who forsook the assembling of the saints to go camping. That's not a church. A church has to be established.
They didn't go up there, they didn't establish a common treasury. They don't pick up a collection, they go up there and they drip some juice and throw some bread in their mouth and call it good.
Maybe sing some songs. You have to establish a congregation. They're not establishing a congregation. They're forsaking the assembling of the saints. It's okay. I see people do that on cruise ships too. I got a sister out there. Jerk a knot in for doing that. She didn't get her on time, the cruise ship would leave without her. I'm like, well, you need to get a different cruise. So that's what we need to understand, is that if you're part of this congregation, you need to be here for the assembly. Again, we've read that. John 14 and verse 15 says, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Hebrews 10:25 says, don't forsake the assembly of the saints. 2 + 2 = 4. If I love Jesus, I'm not going to forsake the assembly of the saints.
And I always ask this question, what if Brandon all of a sudden decided to go off services? And you called him, he wasn't here Sunday night. And you called him and he said, hey, preacher, where you at? In case you decide to stay in and watch the Broncos play, even though they're going to get beat by the Chiefs tonight.
But the game's on late, so we didn't want to miss any of it. So just handle things. We'll be there on Sunday. What would you guys do? Why does the preacher have a different obligation than the members? You can't preach to people who ain't here. So we need to get around to being here. To support the Bible class teachers, you spend all this time preparing for Bible class and then no kids show up.
So they're all playing soccer, or they're playing t-ball, or they're playing this. And then I hear parents say this ludicrous thing, but they committed to the team. How about committing to this team? God's team!
You committed to this team first! Don't throw God's team under the bus so you can go play t-ball on Wednesday nights or Sundays or whatever else forbids that. My son, he wrestled in high school. You may not like that. You may like that. I don't know. It's just a fact. I'm just telling you.
The coach had Wednesday night practice. And for Danny, you ain't practicing on Wednesday. We got mom. So he went and told the coach. The coach said, can I talk to you, Dan?
Said, yeah, absolutely, you can talk to me. So, no, the coach, he said, Daniel's our 114 pounder, he needs to be here. I'm like, we got a lot of class. So, he said, well, if he's not here Wednesday night, he can't wrestle. I'm like, well, he won't wrestle. So, what the coach did? The coach said, no more Wednesday night practice.
And there were Baptist kids in that group, and there were Catholic kids in that group that had went to that Bible class, and they were elated that somebody finally stood up and said, no moss. We got church.
Because I tell you what, if you let your kids forsake the assembly, or if you forsake the assembly, your kids will forsake it even worse. And they'll quit coming all together. This is not important to you, it's not important to them.
Same thing when you got them relatives that come in. All of a sudden, you got cousin so-and-so that shows up from Tucson, Arizona. I ain't seen cousin Dorothy in 22 years. Well, here's your chance to teach cousin Dorothy. Cousin Dorothy, we're going to be at services tomorrow morning between 9:30 and 11:30.
You're welcome to come with us, but that's where we're going to be. Well, come on, say hello to you, girls, with me. I don't get to see you but every 22 years. Well, then become a member of the Lord's Church and we'll see each other every day in the church. the little on the surface. I see that happen all the time. It happens in St. Robert. It happens in every congregation. All of that is here again. You guys know better than I do. Anytime you put somebody ahead of God, you tell them God's not important. Anytime that you shirk your responsibility to this congregation, you tell the people, first of all, in this congregation, they're not as important as cousin so-and-so. Because you're not here to edify them, they're not here to edify you. So we need to get around to being here. We need to get around to. Another thing that we're going to get around to one of these days
is around my friends and neighbors' church. I go to school with these people day in and day out. I work with these people day in and day out. And they don't no more know that I'm a Christian than a man on the moon.
Again, we don't know when Jesus is going to show up. It's going to be an awesome day for those of us righteous. That's how I include myself in that. I'm trying to be. When he comes, it's too late to change. We've got to get around to it now. We're going to be judged by his commands. And just giving God lip service is not going to get us to heaven. Jesus says that in Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father.
He goes on to say, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we prophesy in your name? May your name pass again. Do we do one of the works? You know what Jesus is going to say? Oh, yeah, I forgot. That's what the Bible says. Jesus is going to say, depart from me, I don't know you.
You who practice lawlessness. Because violating Scripture is lawbreaking. Matthew 28, verse 19 says, go into the world, teach the gospel. Are baptized them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I recommend you. Everybody's supposed to be an evangelist.
Everybody wants their family to be Christians, but nobody wants to be the bad guy to tell the people how to become Christians. We talked a little bit about that this morning.
Well, really, and that, I tell you what, you show me, you have a Methodist person walk in here, we're going to talk about Methodist doctrine.
You have a Baptist person show up in here and I know about it, we're going to talk about Baptist doctrine, not Baptist people. There's misled people in all the churches out there. Well, we're going to talk about the doctrine.
You tell me your Catholic grandma's coming to visit with you,
we're going to talk about Catholicism. And without a doubt, every time I do that, if you're back in that room back there,
not necessarily this room, but you know what I mean, I'm standing back there shaking hands, and here comes Baptist cousin Joe. He's like, man, I've never heard that before. I didn't know Baptist church were even. I didn't know what to do. And you know who married me? My brother or sister who brought them.
Well, I can't believe you said that in front of me. I can't believe you. They'll never come back to the Church of Christ again. I'm like, look, I got one shot at it. You've had 20 years with them. Your way ain't working. Maybe they need some shock treatment.
You're not doing your job. Don't get mad at me because you didn't do your job. They should have already known about the Lord's Church. They should have already known how to become a Christian. They should already know that the church are going to an apostate church. If we don't tell people the truth, who is? We're supposed to have it. This is the truth.
That's my red pen. I'm reading through the book of Isaiah and I'm marking my pages with that.
But if we don't do it, who's going to do it? Well, I'm going to get around to it. You know, one of these days I'm going to get around to teaching my children about God. You know what Ephesians chapter 4 says? Verses 6 and verse 4 says, Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up. Bring them up in the love, the discipline, and the instruction of the Lord.
What are we teaching our children? Are we teaching them that God is the most important thing in our life from the time that they can open their eyes and understand human words
to the day they leave our house? You show me a rebellious teen, and I'll show you somebody who wasn't taught when they were little. He said, well, I'm not in the church.
What? That's your answer. I brought him to church. What'd you do with him at home? Did you sit down and pray with him at home? Did you sit down and read scripture with him at home? Did you spank the little behind when they needed it at home?
But now they're a hot mess at 15 years old, and you want the preacher and the church to fix it. Bring them up in instruction and discipline of the Lord.
And it should be a positive experience. God should be in every baby loves God. Every little child loves God. They adore Bible class. I remember I got the honor of teaching the little bitty kids class. And you know, most of the time that's not a man's role, right? But we were in Hawaii, and I don't know what happened. We had a bunch of rebellious women. And
now the women wanted to teach the little kids class. Dina was teaching the preteens. And so
they said, who's going to teach the class? We'll just have to have them sit out. I said, I'll teach them. I was on a break. I had just finished the adult class. I had 9. I think Kendrick's age down to 2. And I taught them, and that was the most rewarding and most challenging class I ever taught in my life.
But those little kids were on fire from God. Those little kids, I said, now,
you got to bring your mama back on Wednesday. Half the parents didn't even come to services on Wednesday night. But when I start teaching them in there, they start teaching their parents at home. We got to go to Bible class. We got to go to Bible class. I had parents tell me, what did you do to my children?
They're bugging me about church. Because they love God.
The only time a child quits loving God is when he's made to quit loving God by parents who don't continue to teach him. Because you give up other things to love.
They don't need things, they need God. A dad should get up and be the positive role model in his family and say, we get to go to church today. Not we have to. A mother should get up, and they should
co-parent. Dina's job was getting the girls ready, and my job was getting the boys ready. If my lazy dad sat on the couch and let my mom get 6 of us ready,
and didn't lift a finger, all he did was cry. Gonna be late. How about getting one of the kids that you have birth ready? Going to be late.
We are never late. Never late for services. But it was so traumatic. It was so negative. It was such a negative experience. Shut up. No problem. Don't have to look. It's like going to be in a drill sergeant.
Ain't nothing wrong with drill sergeant. I was in drill sergeant for 3 years. But not near home. Even when I was a drill sergeant, Dina tell me, I ain't one of you privates that puts up with me like that. She's Italian. You know how they got them truckers. I'll scare her. Everybody thinks she's sweet little. We'll talk more about that later.
Anyway, but we need to prioritize our lives.
We need to bring our children up in the love and admonition of the Lord. We need to keep them away from evil company. Do you not understand what this scripture says? Evil communication corrupt good manners or good morals.
If you hang out with a pig, you're going to smell like a pig.
You can take as many baths as you want, and you will still have that pig smell on you. I used to raise pigs. I don't know the stinkiest pig things in the world.
And the world stinks. And when you expose your children to that, by letting them watch stuff on TV they shouldn't be watching, taking them to places that you shouldn't be taking them, showing them things that they shouldn't be seeing, you're impregnating them with that worldly smell.
And then when they rebel against you, don't be surprised.
I'm not saying we need to be honest and fit in a community and never go outside. The Bible says we're in the world, but we're not in the world. Teach your young ladies what immodesty is. So when they see it, they flee from it.
They don't want to be like those other girls. Same thing with God. Remember that? I don't think it's a popular thing now. Remember the sagging thing that the boys used to do? They wear the boxer shorts and then the pants would be down like this. You'd always see them on those cop shows running from the cop like this.
Like, pull your pants up, put the belt on, you're gonna steal something. But that was the thing, boy, oh, it was so cool. And no one even knew where that originated.
It originated in our prison system. If a homosexual was open for business, they wore the pants like that.
Then our teenage boys started doing it. I'm like, what are you, a homo? Pull your pants up. Oh, but you can't say homo.
Yes, I can. You want to, I call him sodomite, and you'd rather have a more biblical word.
Our kids need to know what the world is. The world is evil. The world will corrupt you. That's why I tell people all the time, be friendly to the world, but don't be friends with the world. The Bible says in James 4, friendship with the world, enmity with God. So,
another thing that we need to get around to one of these days is doing more with the church. I saw a little sign-up sheet up there on an intro. Little lock-up.
I'm assuming that's locked the doors at the end of the service. Or maybe you guys got a jail down there where you keep all the bad guys that you didn't want me to see.
Somebody's got to run a lock-up. Or something else.
What are you doing? Every person sitting, raise your hand if you're a baptized Christian in this room. Raise your hand. Don't be scared. So nobody's going to catch you.
If you just raise your hand, you should have a job in this congregation. Every person in this congregation should have a job to help this congregation grow. Everyone.
One person can be in charge of their own lives. One person can be in charge of their own lives. Teach about class. You can't teach about class. There's a third person to teach about class. But everybody should have a role. When you don't have a role in an organization, then you're not invested in it.
Remember, God only created three organizations: the government, and that's itself, the church, and the home. That's the only three organizations he created. You're part of this organization,
this body that meets in this building, at this place, at those times up there. You need to have an investment in that. What can I do? Now don't tell me,
oh, I know Randy Williams to do this and now I'm old. Unless you're over 84, remember Hannah was an old Jewish lady. Used to stand outside the temple, talk to everybody about Jesus. 84 years old.
So if you're over 84, I'll give you a pass. So you're 84, we got work to do. We had this old sister, her name was Elijah. We tried to raise, and again, we're trying, all these things I'm teaching here, I teach at St. Robert, we're all trying to do that, we're all trying to get everybody involved.
You know, it's a process. But we had an old sister, her name was Sister Lyman. Lyman Gibson. She had been out of the Lord
about 30 years, her brother was a member, he passed away, and she started coming to service. She said, my brother told me I had to take his place with this current issue. Wow, cool. And she never missed another service until she got blind and deaf. And then she started being one of our shut-ins. And I'd go over and study with her once a week. And the first thing she'd say is, how's my brother? How's my brother, and what can I do to help? And so what we came up for her to do, blind and deaf,
is that we were door knocking at that time. We had decided to door knock the entire community of St. Robert. Every Saturday we'd get together and we'd pick a different section.
And I told her from my office, and I said, Sister Liza, we're getting ready to head out. She's like, all right, I'm on it. And that good Christian woman would pray constantly the entire time we were out. If we were out for an hour, she'd pray for an hour. If we were out for 3 hours, she'd pray for 3 hours. When we got back, I'd call her back.
I said, Sister Liza, we're all back. We're all accounted for. Everybody's good to go. She's like, all right, we'll stop praying. That was her job. She could have got something locked. She could have gone clean the building. She could have teach stuff.
But she could pray. Everybody can do something if you want to get around to it. We need to understand what our first love is. Our first love is God. Remember in the book of Revelation when he's talking to the church in Ephesus? He says, you need to remember your first love. Remember the excitement when you first obeyed the gospel and you wanted to tell everybody?
I wanted everybody to know I had got baptized. And then what happens over the course of the years, you get beat in the face enough. Every time you mention you're a Christian, people attack you.
So you get gunshot. We need to just learn to take the blows. And quit wincing. I look on some of these older friends' faces.
You kind of get teary when I think about this. A lot of times when they see an old Christian, they see wrinkles. Those aren't wrinkles anymore. Those are battle scars. Those are firm battle scars.
For the years and years of fighting for God, they earned every one of those battle scars. That's our job, to get older and get those battle scars. Every wrinkle is a beautiful argument that you won and lived through. So I love the brother that was even today for me. And now it's our turn. It's your turn. You need to know. We need to believe what we read in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 36. Turn your Bibles over there real quick. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 36 says this. And he said to them, love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind.
Let me ask you a question.
Tonight,
what I had in my pocket. I got one too. All of them have around to it. Now,
you're also the one like him back there.
He's already got one.
He's already up on you.
You might get with Brother Emmett and get the Bible verses off the back of his OG.
You don't have to get off OG,
originally gangster.
He's OG to a guy
and get the Bible verses off the back
of his old coin and put them on your new coin.
And then you can be walking it like the generation before us did. But now everybody has an around to it, and nobody has to get one. So there should be a lot more work going on, a lot less procrastination going on, and a lot more growth. So this evening, as a kind of Christian, that's the Lord God.
You need to get around to it. We talked about it today, today is our machine. What is keeping you, if you're considering you haven't been baptized, for the nation of sin, what is keeping you from doing it?
What is it? My question to this is, if you died today, what would you be tomorrow? What side of Hades would you be on? Paradise or close? You get to choose today. Tomorrow is always going to be taken away from you. Think about that. Pray about it, and I am going to repent of sins and trust in God, the Lord Jesus, and be buried in the heavens. That will make this child of God. That will make you a Christian. Then you've got to walk the walk and talk the talk. There's no more around to it than God. Just do it. Do it alone. There's no more trust. Hold your lip. Think about these things. We didn't have any way to come up with this.